to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
Housing stability is at the root of so many issues that Oregonians are facing right now. We were experiencing a full-on housing crisis even before the pandemic began. And this isn't just a Portland or a Eugene issue. It's a problem all over the state, in urban and in rural areas.
When the lockdown happened in late March, it was clear non-payment of rent and possible evictions for non-payment was going to be a larger issue. Multifamily property owners are wondering how long they can hold on before their businesses fail. A financial advisory firm, Stout, estimated in September of 2020 an outstanding rent debt of $378 million in Oregon.
Thousands of Oregon households who rent their home would be at risk of eviction without our current eviction moratorium in place. I want to be clear that I think that Oregon is doing a pretty amazing job, especially compared to many states, in the way that we're responding to the pandemic. Folks are protected by an eviction moratorium, as you've heard, through June 30th, and there is about to be a significant amount of rent assistance available in communities. Folks are making really extreme sacrifices in order to stay in their home or get caught up. Because of a global pandemic over which none of us had any control, folks are being put into situations where they're spending down their savings, selling their assets, skipping meals, all in order to pay whatever portion of their rent or mortgage they can. Eviction is not just one family losing their home and finding another.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's February 19th, 2021 program, Losing Health and Home, Oregon's Pending COVID-19 Eviction Crisis. My name is Scott Coltrane, and I'm the City Club President. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page, and are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Mondays at 7 p.m. This City Club program is the third and final program in a three-part series on local housing issues. In today's program, presenters will focus on Oregon's pending COVID-19 eviction crisis. We will be joined by Julie Fahey, Oregon House District 14 representative, Jason Miller, legislative director of the Oregon Rental Housing Association, and Allison McIntosh, policy and communications director at Neighborhood Partnerships in Portland. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Skip Coburn and Karin Knudsen for coordinating today's program. About the program, eviction has been described as, quote, the nuclear option, end quote, to address disputes between tenants and landlords, and the most common cause of eviction is the non-payment of rent. Evictions initiate a cycle of housing instability for the renter, especially in markets like Eugene with little available housing, and they are time-consuming, stressful, and expensive for the landlord. Even before 2020, many local residents were living one step away from eviction because housing costs have risen significantly faster than wages. In Lane County, one in three renters pays more than 50% of their income for housing. Enter the COVID-19 pandemic and the inability of many workers to go out to work. Today's program introduces the unprecedented series of judicial, executive, and legislative actions that Oregon took in 2020 to mitigate the potential eviction disaster created by COVID-19. This includes House Bill 4401, a bill that provides assistance for renters and landlords and extends the moratorium on COVID-related evictions.
Hello, thank you so much to City Club for having us on today to talk about this incredibly important issue. I'm Julie Fahey, the state representative for House District 14, which includes West Eugene and Junction City. And I'm the chair of the Housing Committee in the Oregon House of Representatives. Housing stability is at the root of so many issues that Oregonians are facing right now. We were experiencing a full-on housing crisis even before the pandemic began. We need to build more than 100,000 housing units just to meet the current demand for housing in this state. And statewide, even before the pandemic, about half of renter households are considered housing cost burdened, which means that their rent is more than 30% of their income. And nearly a quarter are severely housing cost burdened. And it's not just renters, it's homeowners too. About a quarter of homeowners are cost burdened in Oregon. And this isn't just a Portland or a Eugene issue. It's a problem all over the state, in urban and in rural areas. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And practically overnight, hundreds of thousands of Oregonians lost their jobs. And we know in the pandemic and in the associated recession, they are disproportionately impacting low-income workers and people of color and making existing income inequality even worse. And these are the Oregonians who were already struggling with their housing costs. A majority of Black and Latinx Oregonians rent their homes due in part to historical discrimination in housing policies. And over half of Oregonians who owe back rent right now are in BIPOC communities. So I'm here today to talk about the policies that Oregon has put in place to prevent evictions during the time of COVID. We know that being evicted can have a serious and long-term effects on a family, on their economic well-being, the educational outcomes of their kiddos, on personal safety, and on physical and mental health. And that kind of damage is incredibly difficult to address once it's been done. Not to mention the fact that Oregon has an existing shelter crisis and we're short at least 10,000 shelter beds statewide. Moreover, we also have clear evidence that evictions increase the spread of COVID-19 as families lose access to a safe place to stay healthy and minimize their exposure to others. We looked at a study late last year that found that lifting eviction moratoriums in other states led to an increase of more than 400,000 COVID-19 cases in the US and more than 10,000 deaths between March and September. So in addition to all of the other reasons why it was critical for us to keep people housed during the pandemic, preventing evictions is a key public health measure as well. So what did we do about this? So last year, the governor and the legislature took action to keep people stably housed. Early on in the pandemic, Governor Brown signed Executive Order 2013, which placed a temporary statewide moratorium on evictions. And a few months later, the legislature extended and codified that moratorium during our June special session. These restrictions on evictions were accompanied by over $60 million in rental assistance. And then in December, the legislature took action again, instituting a revised version of the moratorium through June 30th of this year. And we picked that date because, in part, so that families with kids would have certainty throughout the school year. We wanted to make sure that kids who had already had their schooling massively disrupted by the pandemic weren't at additional risk of losing their home and their internet connection during the school year. So under the new moratorium, the moratorium that's in place right now, tenants have to submit a sworn statement to their landlord that they've experienced financial hardship during the pandemic. That hardship can be a loss of work or wages, increased medical or childcare expenses, or any other circumstances that have reduced income or increased expenses. That declaration form is available online in many different places, including at the Oregon Law Center website. If a landlord intends to move forward with an eviction notice, they must provide their tenant with the statement form and inform them of their rights. So during the moratorium, no cause evictions are also not allowed unless a landlord meets several criteria, including selling the home to someone who will occupy it, demolishing or converting the unit, or moving themselves or a family member into the unit. I also think it's important to note that there is also an eviction moratorium in place at the federal level right now that is currently set to expire at the end of March. But the federal moratorium doesn't contain as many protections for tenants, and there are many more conditions that need to be met for tenants to qualify. So we really felt that additional protections were needed at the state level. These actions and the eviction moratorium were necessary short-term measures to protect lives and prevent harm to tenants. But a moratorium alone isn't sustainable for either tenants or landlords, and it doesn't actually solve the fundamental problem of tenants being unable to afford rent during this time, or the fact that some landlords are experiencing significant financial hardship. We know that some landlords have lost the rental income that they rely on and may themselves be struggling to afford mortgages or other needs. So it was really important to me when the legislature took action that to extend the moratorium, that that came with a significant amount of funding that would help both tenants and landlords. As I mentioned earlier, the legislature allocated $60 million in rent assistance last summer. But as the pandemic wore on, longer than any of us expected, it became very, very clear that that was not enough to meet the need. So in December, the legislature also allocated an additional $200 million in rent assistance. $50 million of that is going to be distributed through the pre-existing tenant-based assistance programs, and $150 million of which is being distributed through a new landlord-based program. So starting this week, landlords can apply online through Oregon Housing and Community Services website on behalf of all of their tenants who owe rent payments. Smaller landlords and landlords with a higher percentage of unpaid rent will be prioritized to receive assistance first. The program will help with unpaid back rent only, and landlords will be required to forgive 20% of the past due rent. Our hope is that this landlord-based program will be more efficient than a tenant-based program because we can get the assistance out the door for multiple tenants at once. So if a landlord has 10 tenants that are behind on rent, instead of 10 separate applications for each tenant, there will be one application to serve them all. We also hope that that will reduce the burden on tenants, many of whom are struggling right now and are already stressed trying to navigate the unemployment system and other social safety nets. The landlord program is voluntary, and we think the new program will work in concert with the existing tenant-based rent assistance. If a landlord chooses not to apply for the landlord-based funding, tenants can still apply for tenant-based rent assistance. So in Lane County, tenants can visit lanecounty.org/rent to find out more information on rent assistance. And landlords statewide can just Google Oregon Landlord Compensation Fund, which should take you to the OHCS website where you can apply. The actions we've taken at the state level will not solve all of the problems that tenants and landlords in Oregon are facing. But what they have done is to stabilize an unsustainable situation and to protect thousands of families from eviction. The COVID-19 pandemic is the biggest public health crisis of our time. And the eviction moratorium and the funding we allocated to help pay rent has kept people housed at a time when they need this protection the most. And I just want to close by saying, how much work has gone into keeping people housed during the pandemic, and not just at the legislative level. Our state agency, Oregon Housing and Community Services, cities and counties, the service providers on the ground who are working with tenants and getting rent assistance out the door. It's really been a team community effort to do this. And all of our systems are sort of stretched to the max right now to get this very important work done. And that's really just so that we don't lose any ground from where we already were with the housing crisis a year ago. So while I personally and many others have been focused on keeping people housed during the pandemic, I know that we still have so much more work to do to address Oregon's housing crisis, to build more housing units, and to make sure that housing is affordable for Oregonians. So with that, I am going to pass it off to Jason Miller, who is the legislative director of the Oregon Rental Housing Association.
Thank you, Representative Fahey, and thank you, City Club of Eugene, for inviting me today. My name is Jason Miller. I am the legislative director for the Oregon Rental Housing Association. I have over 10 years of property management experience, and I manage the day-to-day business of diversified property management, a mid-sized property management company in the Willamette Valley. Early in 2020, we all heard about the coronavirus, COVID-19. In late February, Oregon had its first confirmed case of COVID-19. By early March, the governor declared a state of emergency, and the disease was progressing quickly, and we were in the middle of a global health crisis. Many people were self-quarantining and becoming sick. Due to lost wages, some weren't able to pay their bills. Some housing providers quickly reacted and offered relief in the form of no late fees, extended due dates, or reduced rents to their tenants in need. When the lockdown happened in late March, it was clear non-payment of rent and possible evictions for non-payment was going to be a larger issue. Executive orders were enacted by our governor to protect tenants from eviction. I think most agreed that this was the right thing to do. The issue was there's no protection for housing providers. Housing providers still had the obligation to pay mortgages, taxes, insurance, utilities, and maintenance with little or no income coming in. And tenants were not required to prove that they were in need or even communicate with the housing provider. House Bill 4213 gave some hope to housing providers. It gave an end date of September 30th, 2020 to the moratorium and a required payback period for residents that were past due in rent. It also required that tenants communicate with the housing providers to arrange for payments. However, another executive order was issued. It extended the moratorium to the end of 2020 with no additional housing provider protections. Housing providers and tenants were often confused as HB 4213 and the latest executive order were not completely in sync, and both conflicted with some very city, county, and federal moratoriums. By this point, some housing providers have had to sell their rental homes because they could no longer afford to house their tenants. The majority of these rental homes that were sold were becoming owner-occupied and reducing the rental inventory in Oregon. Others, after depleting their savings, are having to take second mortgages on their personal homes or even come out of retirement and start working again just to keep their tenants housed. Multifamily property owners are wondering how long they can hold on before their businesses fail. The latest incarnation of the moratorium, House Bill 4401, extends the moratorium to June 30th, 2021 for the tenants to sign the declaration of need. This bill starts to address the issues facing the housing providers by offering landlord-based compensation fund. The housing provider must file on behalf of the tenant, and they will receive funds of 80% of the past due rent while forgiving another 20%. There are limited funds, so there's no guarantee, but the applications are scored to smaller housing providers, and those with more tenant debt are given priority. A financial advisory firm, Stout, estimated in September of 2020 an outstanding rent debt of $378 million in Oregon. That's about $54 million per month of the moratorium. If my math is correct, the number should be somewhere around $594 million today. House Bill 4401 provides a total of $200 million in landlord and tenant-based assistance. Even combined with other existing programs and money coming from the federal programs, we have a shortfall of money to cover the situation. If we do not have a solution for the unpaid rent coming due in July, many tenants will face eviction, not because housing providers want people to be homeless, but because they cannot operate at a loss any longer. One solution gaining bipartisan effort is Senate Bill 330. Senate Bill 330 establishes a tax credit to housing providers in exchange for forgiveness of tenant debt from the moratorium period. This solution provides assistance for housing providers and tenants alike, providing a fresh start at the end of the moratorium. I'd like to thank the City Club of Eugene for having me today, and now I'll turn it over to Allison McIntosh with the Oregon Housing Alliance.
Thank you so much, Jason and Representative Fahey, and thank you to the Eugene City Club for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be with you all virtually. My name is Allison McIntosh, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Housing Alliance. As you all know, COVID-19 continues to negatively impact our communities, particularly for folks with low incomes who may continue to be out of work or who have lost income due to the virus. Thousands of Oregon households who rent their home would be at risk of eviction without our current eviction moratorium in place. And today I want to share with you all what people who rent their homes are experiencing and what solutions we have to offer. The Oregon Housing Alliance is a coalition of more than 90 organizations from all parts of the state, including affordable housing developers, residents of affordable housing, local jurisdictions, and organizations working to meet basic needs in every corner of our state. And we believe that a safe and stable place to call home is a basic human need. I want to be clear that I think that Oregon is doing a pretty amazing job, especially compared to many states, in the way that we're responding to the pandemic. Folks are protected by an eviction moratorium, as you've heard, through June 30th, and there is about to be a significant amount of rent assistance available in communities. Together, the moratorium paired with rent assistance are really critical and important interventions. And while some of the data that I'm going to share with you is dire, we know that the problems that our communities are facing are solvable. And I believe that we can continue to protect people's health and housing stability. Right now, we're also looking ahead to July 1st, when the current eviction moratorium ends, to try to make sure that folks are helped with rent assistance before that time so that they don't have to grapple with mounting debt and housing instability on July 1st. The pandemic has lifted up countless stories of people who are making extreme sacrifices to pay rent and remain in their homes. I want to highlight some of those stories through some of the most recent data collected as part of the Census Household Pulse Survey. And this data is about Oregonians who were surveyed over the last several weeks. More than 4 in 10 households, 44%, reported being worried about being evicted within the next 2 months. 21% of homeowners who responded reported being worried about being foreclosed upon during the next 2 months. 44% of respondents reported using credit cards to meet their basic needs. 25% reported borrowing money from family or friends, and 29% reported selling belongings or spending down savings to meet their basic needs. And right now in Oregon, about somewhere around 10 to 15% of renters who respond report that they aren't currently caught up on rent. We also have heard stories in the news media that have shared incredibly difficult stories of people selling cars or furniture, skipping meals, and making other sacrifices in order to pay the rent. And that's really not uncommon. I want to pause and let that sink in, because I think that this data might shock you and worry you. It certainly shocks and worries me, and I have been looking at this data since it first started being collected earlier in the pandemic. While most folks are paying rent payments, again, about between 10 and 15% of renters are not caught up, folks are making really extreme sacrifices in order to stay in their home or get caught up. Because of a global pandemic over which none of us had any control, folks are being put into situations where they're spending down their savings, selling their assets, skipping meals, all in order to pay whatever portion of their rent or mortgage they can. And as Rep. Fahey mentioned, families of color have been particularly hard hit by COVID, both the impacts of job loss and the virus, due to systemic racism, which has kept many in low-wage jobs, or the legacy of environmental health impacts, which negatively impact people's health. Recent research by Portland State University reflects that people of color are more likely to owe back rent. I want to turn to some national data about how much back rent is owed, and I think Jason mentioned some of this. There is some national recent data from Moody's that suggests that renters who owe back rent owe about an average of $5,400, an amount that could be solved through rent assistance, but for someone who may have lost their job, that amount might feel insurmountable. We also have the data from Stout, which was mentioned earlier, another national firm that has been doing really amazing research. They had been updating the data every 2 weeks and unfortunately stopped at the end of November. At the end of November, at that time, they were estimating that the shortfall for Oregon renters was between $126 million and $222 million. So really close, actually, to the amount that the legislature committed in December of 2020. We also now have additional federal money coming to Oregon soon and are hoping always for more to get help for folks to get them caught up on any rent losses that they've experienced as we all move forward towards a hopeful light at the end of this tunnel. Some of you may have also seen the recent PSU study, which showed that Oregonians currently owe about $378 million in back rent, and that unless we figure out how to get rent assistance that is into the hands of people who need it, the cost of the evictions that could stem from that back rent could reach into the billions of dollars. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because eviction is not just one family losing their home and finding another. Some of you may remember the book Evicted, which shows us that evictions have incredible negative ripple effects into people's lives and their communities. And if you haven't read it, I would encourage you to. Evictions mean that kids miss school, and particularly now when districts are remote, how do kids go to school from a car or a tent or a shelter? Evictions might mean that parents lose work because it's that much harder to keep a job when you don't have a place to sleep or shower. Evictions impact not just one family, but everything around them. Teachers know that there are negative impacts to other kids in the classroom. Doctors and nurses know that there are negative impacts to our health. And employers can share negative impacts on their workers and consequently their companies. These ripple effects impact our communities, and we have to do all we can to prevent it from happening. As Representative Fahey also mentioned, there is recent research by public health experts that shows how evictions can and do negatively impact COVID cases. The threat of eviction can increase stress, anxiety, and depression, weakening people's immune systems. And as families get into a situation where they've exhausted all of their assets in order to avoid eviction, they may in turn move in with family or friends and create an overcrowded housing situation where COVID could spread. In addition, shelters or other situations that folks experiencing homelessness find themselves in may put them at greater risk of spreading or contracting COVID. And again, unfortunately, evictions continue to disproportionately impact communities of color who rent in higher percentages than their white counterparts due to historic housing discrimination and housing policies. We really want to make sure that we're protecting folks, and an eviction moratorium has positive implications. Families will have a roof over their head, kids will be able to do homework at home, and other states that have previously decided to lift their eviction moratoriums or are choosing not to enforce the federal CDC order are seeing unfortunate, predictable, and preventable results. Oregon has made a different choice, and I really want to thank Representative Fahey for her incredible leadership on this issue. We would not be talking about how Oregon is succeeding at preventing evictions without her work on this issue. We were really thrilled to see a commitment from the legislature of $200 million in rent assistance and then additional federal dollars, which will offer significant relief both to tenants and landlords who have been impacted by this global pandemic. We all know that in spite of the eviction moratorium, people still owe this rent and these bills still come due, and we need to help folks get caught up by providing rent assistance. In closing, I would just reiterate that households are making really tough choices to continue paying rent and that we don't believe folks should be evicted because of a pandemic, and we need to continue to both prevent evictions as we continue to rent assistance. And I will say, I wouldn't be doing a very good job at being an advocate if I didn't encourage you all to call your decision makers, to call your federal congresspeople and ask them to invest more in rent assistance, in housing solutions and housing opportunity, to call your state legislators and ask them to reinstate our foreclosure moratorium, which was allowed to expire on December 31st, and to call your local decision makers and ask them to commit local funds to solve these problems. And lastly, to encourage you to support affordable housing that's being built in our neighborhoods, because we simply need more safe, stable, and affordable places for folks with low incomes to call home in our communities. Thank you so much for having me here today.
This has been our February 19th, 2021 program, Losing Health and Home, Oregon's Pending COVID-19 Eviction Crisis. Thank you to public radio station KLCC FM 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page. If you are not yet a member, more information is on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now I would like to thank today's speakers for a great program. Representative Julie Fahey, Jason Miller, and Allison McIntosh, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us today. This concludes today's program. Be well and stay safe.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.